الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. When you look at our normal lives, part of it being normal is that there's ups and downs. Sometimes it seems that things are really going quote-unquote our way, and sometimes things seem very tough. And for many people, they feel that their lives are very stressful because many times things aren't quote-unquote going their way. And there's one difficulty or another, one trial ends and it seems like another one comes up. As soon as you're done trying to resolve one matter, something else crops up, and a person seems completely embroiled from one, what we would call perhaps musibah, to another. There's many different aspects to that, but just wanted to talk about one aspect of how to grapple with these type of realities that exist within our lives. Because if I were to ask or take a poll of even the people who are sitting or people who are listening from online, that how many people have some type of problem in their life, right? More likely than not, almost 100% will say that, yes, I have some type of problem that's been, everything is going good. And when we meet people in the masjid, we say, how is everything? Everyone says, alhamdulillah. But in the back of their mind, they're thinking, okay, but alhamdulillah, except for X, Y, and Z, which is going on in my life. But they just don't feel open enough to tell the other party. We say, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Right? Praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shukrs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what our situation is. And that really needs to be our attitude. And that's one way that a person actually brings peace into their own lives. And that's really the way to grapple with these type of situations. However, what I really sort of want to concentrate on is one piece of advice of how to deal with times when they really get hard. Understand that just because a person actually tries to adopt some type of piety in their life, when a person tries to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that does not mean that their problems will go away. There's a very big misconception that sometimes people have. They say that, if I become pious, if I become righteous, then subhanAllah, automatically all my worries will go away. And there's actually a very deep hikmah in this that's just coming to mind, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to create this formula, that you become Islamic, you become pious, you become hardcore, and then all your problems stop, then people would start becoming Islamic not for the sake of Allah, but they would do it to get rid of their problems. There'd be no sincerity in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create, when He created life as a test, He didn't create the algorithm such that a person becomes pious and their problems goes away, because then people would do it for all the wrong reasons. So when times are difficult, right, when something is troubling a person, when a person is worried about something, and who is there that doesn't have one type of worry or another? So one step back before that. So know that when a person becomes righteous doesn't mean that your problems go away. In fact, you might actually see your problems getting more. Right? SubhanAllah, your problems might actually go up. And a person says, well, how can that be? And I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I vaguely remember recently someone talking to me about this, where they're saying that, alhamdulillah, I'm getting really solid, and it seems like all these things are going wrong in my life. Right? All these things are going wrong in my life. I remember, I think when I was on one of my third year med school rotations, there's like so many things like going on, right? Everything was going all right. And then my attending, she's like, there's so many things going wrong. And I said, well, this is a sign, at least in our religion, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those whom He loves, right? And that's generally our aqidah. And it actually comes, if life was supposed to get easy as soon as you start becoming religious, then why would the anbiya go through any type of difficulty? Right, most of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الصالحون ثم الأمثل ثم الأمثل. that the person with the most type of difficulties, the most type of bala, are going, the most people with the most trial are going to be the anbiya. And then the salihun, and then the people who are righteous. Thumma al-amthal, thumma al-amthal. And then those who are most like them, then those who are most like them. So the more you try to go out in the path of Allah, the more you try to bring the deen into your life, then expect that difficulties will come with it. In fact, our righteous predecessors, if they were to start the work of the deen, and some type of difficulty and some type of opposition did not arise against that, then they used to actually get worried. Used to get worried that what if there's not sincerity in this work? I might be doing this not for the sake of Allah. Then you start some, you know, type of halaqa, and immediately there's 500 people sitting in the room, right? Most people say, SubhanAllah, I'm such a great speaker. But our righteous predecessors, they would actually get worried that how am I getting this type of qubuliya all of a sudden in the middle? Maybe there's something wrong with it. Because you look at the prophetic model, he started with very few in Mecca. Right, and for years and years and years until eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for him. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ رَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. That was at the very end of his life that people entered into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in folds. But before that, that wasn't the case. And such has always been with the people who really sincerely devote themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there are these trials, there is sacrifice involved. It's not necessarily an easy road. So that was the first thing. The second thing that comes up is that when a person comes in these type of difficult situations, one of the reasons that they get so stressed out, one of the reasons they get so frustrated is all the time they're worried about trying to figure out some type of solution. Right? How do I solve this? How do I solve this? How do I get rid of this? I just want to get this out of my life. And many times it's not an easy solution. Right? So they're racking their brains, they're sitting, they're thinking, contemplating, walking to work, coming home, just thinking, how do I solve this? How do I get rid of this? How do I get rid of this? Understand that the first thing, that there's something wrong with thinking like this. That when you say, how do I get rid of this? The fact of the matter is, you can't get rid of it. Allah gets rid of it. So you have to start there. You have to start by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, remove this from me. And the second thing is that while a person should take the asbab and make, you know, should plan and try to do the type of things that they need to do, they should always be very cognizant to see whether or not this type of difficulty is coming in their life because of their own self. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. That if anything good comes to you, then it's from Allah. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ. And if there's something bad that's happening in your life, فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. It's from your own self. So a person needs to take a very hard and deep look in their own life to see what they may be doing that is bringing these type of difficulties in their life. So that is one category of things. When difficulties come in your life that prevent you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's a musibah from nafsik. And if there's something, a difficulty that's coming in your life that's bringing you closer to Allah, then that's from, you know, because then a person will say, oh, then Rasulullah wasn't close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he do wrong? That was the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually brought him closer. And in fact, when a person becomes very firm in the deen, it actually comes that zida fi bala'ihi, that when he has salaba, like his feet are firmly implanted in the deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases his test. I don't know if you know in testing theory now, they have certain tests. I don't know if the GRE is like this. I think the GRE is like this now. Where it's like a, and maybe even the USMLE, that the computer, the way it's programmed, is when you're starting to answer the questions, and if you're getting them right, then it starts, doesn't throw you the easy questions or random questions, and it starts giving you higher and higher levels of difficulty in the questions until you sort of cap out, and somehow they calculate where you actually end up. So it's not just sort of like a random set of questions from a question bank and then you take it. It's very like an active process. And so if you're missing those questions, then it sort of takes, it downgrades you, and eventually you're, you know, you're capped in what your overall high score could be. But then it gives you like sort of easier questions. So in some ways, the deen is also works like that. It's very interactive. That if you really are being serious, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really tests your mettle, right, to see how far you can go. So a person should not take this as a type of, you know, a negative sign. And then the third thing, that, and probably the main focus of today's talk, is that when a person has some type of difficulty that comes in their life, and it's not necessarily because of some type of sin that they've done, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just has chosen to test that person, then we should exercise something which is not talked about often. We have to exercise something called sabr. We have to be patient. Right? So less often is heard the even the word patience, right? Because we're a fast food society. We want everything done now, right? We want faster computers. You want, you know, more gigahertz. You want, you know, everything has to move faster. Business wants everything done yesterday, right? Your everything has to. If you're sitting at one of those older computers and it takes, you know, 1 minute for a download, people start stamping their feet, right? Because they just feel uncomfortable. Because people want everything fast. And when because everything has become fast, people also look for fast delivery from their difficult situations. That leads to a lot of stress and a lot of frustration, a lot of lack of happiness in a person's life. Our way is also the way of, our way is the way of shukr and the way of sabr. I mean, some of the righteous have, one of the righteous, I think in the past had said that, you know, what is there to do sabr? Even the alley dog knows how to do sabr, right? I mean, if you don't have a choice, right? If you have some type of fatal illness, you can't wish it away. You have it. It's done, right? Even the alley dog, when, if some, the alley dog doesn't have food, what is it going to do? Can't do anything. It has to do sabr. He says, we show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that situation. In any case, I did want to spend a little bit of time, you know, a few minutes inshallah, talking about bringing sabr into our lives. Bringing sabr. A person should make this an attribute of themselves as they, you know, work in their lives, as they on a daily basis, that they become patient. Patient with their situation, patient so when you get home and your wife says something that you didn't like, instead of immediately responding, just be patient. Right, you come home, your kids are there, your kids are doing something, and you said the whole day I've done so much for you, and the mother gets so mad that she's just so stressed out that I did so much. Now you're acting like this. I didn't teach you this, right? We lose patience, right? All of these things which sort of push us over the edge, these are all trials. These are all problems. And the reason we get pushed over the edge is because we forget to exercise patience in these type of situations. You're going to work. There's a lot of traffic. You feel so frustrated that, you know, I need to get work. I'm already late and these guys don't know how to drive. And, you know, there's so much. Like the other day, it took me 2.5 hours to get to work, right? Because, it's, I mean, in Chicago, right, the people wouldn't bat an eyelash when there's one, you know, 1 inch of snow on the ground. But over here, people really slow down. So it took, they actually closed 40, I think, on one side. So it took 2.5 hours. So a person can sit there and really be get, you know, agitated, or you just, you know, sit there and you just be patient. And it's going to take you the same amount of time either way, right? It's still going to take me those 2.5 hours, no matter what I did. I could rev my engine, right, and put it on neutral and try to, like, you know, drive 20 miles and then hit the brakes hard. But my average speed from the time I left home to the time I ended up at work is going to be the same. It's just going to be the same. And in many ways, that's how life works. When you're in a certain difficult situation in your life, you have a bad professor, you have a tough boss, right? Something out of your control, then that the amount of time that that difficulty is in your life is going to sort of set. And you can be revving your engine, cursing, and you can put all this thing, but it's not going to change it. The way that we sort of de-stress is that we let go, right? Just be patient. When Rasulullah says some anything used to trouble him, he used to actually run to salah. And it comes in the Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. So when, if you need help in some type of situation, before you reach out to any, you know, anything, the first person that we, any sheikh, any teacher, any friend, any, you know, your parents, your children, your wife, our first confidant is Allah. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. So first thing, you have to be patient, and you also have to take, you know, isti'ana or help from salah. These two things are tremendously helpful in a person's life. When the going gets tough, you know, in this country, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Before we even get going, first we do sabr, then we pray salah, then we get going when we have to. Our, you know, our modus operandi is a little bit different. And there's a tremendous amount of barakah when a person does sabr. One of the reasons that people feel the lack of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives is because they've left sabr. Comes very clearly in the Quran. Inna Allah ma as-sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who are patient. This ma'iyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this being together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling this closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes when a person exercises this type of steadfastness. If a person focuses only on the problem, then they lose this opportunity. I can tell you, when you have a difficult thing in your going on in your life, and you're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the type of closeness you can get with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can spend years outside of that situation and you might not get that type of closeness. It's actually an opportunity. So a guy breaks up with a girl, right? The girl, or there was some rishta between husband and wife. He got very close. Something breaks up. Or this guy wanted to marry this girl. This girl wanted to marry this guy. It doesn't work out. Hearts are broken. A person's thinking, okay, this is the end of my life. In that time, in those, you know, that 1 month or something, 2 months, maybe 3 months, when both the hearts are broken, when people do iltija ila Allah, when they run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fafirru ila Allah, inni lakum minhu nadhirun mubin, run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hasten to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that type of progress a person undergoes in their deen is very hard to replicate. Very hard to replicate. I know that there was this one individual who was going through a very difficult time. Very difficult time. And they just did sabr and they were just making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later on, you know, mashallah, they progressed much more in the deen. They learned more. They had more ilm. They had memorized more Quran. They had, you know, progressed in their lessons. All these type of things. But they said, you know, the closest I felt with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, when they would make dua and their dua would be answered. It was a special, there's a special occasion you can think about this. When you're in a tough time. Look at, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways that He reminds us is by giving us examples, giving us role models. So who is the role model when anyone thinks about, you know, patience? Who do we think about? Ayyub alayhi salam. It's actually proverbial. In English, they say the patience of Job. It's proverbial. Ayyub alayhi salam was even known, I mean, obviously it was before Islam. Islam in the sense before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's been written in some of the, I think, Sifri Ayyub, that he's actually been described. And it's one of the earliest historical sources describing Ayyub alayhi salam. That in such a town, I think in the town of Aus, he was described as a perfect man, right? According to their scriptures, that a perfect man, and they describe it. And towards the end, the thing that stuck in my mind in that historical description of him is that who avoided sin. Right? That's how he was remembered, who avoided sin. I said, subhanAllah, the mark of the righteous has been the same throughout all of history from that time of Adam alayhi salam, that these people who used to avoid sin, this is how they became known. This became how they became known. Now Ayyub alayhi salam, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him so much, so much. He would have what, you know, normal people would say, you know, the American dream or the perfect life. Nice cars, nice wife, children, wealth. You name it, he had it. Alhamdulillah, right? He had subhanAllah, a wonderful life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to test him. So he lost his children. Right? He didn't lose one child. He didn't lose two children. All his children. Right? Our Shaykh al-Hadith, who used to teach us, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. This is an aside, but this story just came in my mind. That he had a son. This teacher used to teach in Saulatiya, which is the madrasa in Mecca. It used to be in the shadow of the Haram. And he used to teach, you know, he was to teach Islamic studies over there for 20 years or something. SubhanAllah. And he was Shaykh al-Hadith, SubhanAllah. So he had one son. And that son, you know, the Alam course is not like a 4-year bachelor's degree, it's an 8-year degree. So his son was like perhaps the apple of his eye. He studied so well. He had finished, and he was actually got all the way into Dawr Hadith, and he had graduated from the Alam course, mashallah. And if I'm not mistaken, he was actually such a good student that on the final day, they were going to ask him to read the final Hadith of Bukhari. Right? He was that thing. The day that he had graduated, there was a tragic accident, and he passed away. Right? That was the end of it. And subhanAllah, like, I mean, just to tell you about, you know, who these people were, they said that when his son passed away, he said that this was an amana from Allah. Allah gave it to me for a certain time. No, he's taken it. He didn't even cry. But then there was one time that the students would know, they would comment that when he was narrating the story of Aisha radiallahu anha, when they had put a tuhma, when they had put an allegation against him, that he was giving that and he started to break up. He couldn't take it anymore. He just got up from the middle of the hadith class, the lecture, he got up and left. When it came to his own son, he was able to take that. But when anything came on our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, he couldn't take it. Right? It was just that powerful for him. But I mean, For anyone who's a parent, to know to lose one child is enough. Right? There was another qari who he had, mashallah, he was like a black belt, subhanAllah, he was built like a rock. And he was like a very qari salih, I think was his name. And he had such, I think he lost his wife, and I think also his child, maybe his child lived on. But you know, when you hear these type of stories, it's so heart-wrenching. Ayyub alayhi salam didn't lose one child. He lost all his children. His wealth, it's been said, you know, in some narrations that there was these tribes that came, they raided, looted, and they took everything. So now he's left without a child, his children. He's left without his wealth. What does that person have at the end of the day? They say, at least you have health, right? At least you have health. If you lose anything, at least you haven't lost your health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tried him with that as well. So according to the Israeli narrations, they say that he was afflicted with some type of terrible disease that was contagious, and it caused, you know, people aversion from being even around him, something like leprosy or something of the like. Our ulama said that this is below the shan, or the muhaqqiqeen, they say this is below the shan of the anbiya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would afflict him with that type of illness. But he had some type of illness, you know, that was serious. It was an illness, and it was stayed, and according to, there's different narrations of how long it lasted. Some people, it's been said 4 years, it's been said 7 years, according to one narration. Ibn Jarih, I think it was, said 13 years. 13 years he had this, he was afflicted with this type of illness. And in that same narration, it was said that there used to be two people who used to come and visit him every day. All his friends, acquaintances, everyone left him, right? Everyone left him. So if you want to know your true friends, look at who's around you in times of difficulty. So these two friends would come and visit him. They would visit him in the morning, they would visit him in his evening, and the other one that would not did not leave his side was his dutiful wife. Right? She was so devoted to him, subhanAllah. And she became really the model of what it means. You know how they say, till death do us part? I mean, she really was the model of what it meant to be a dutiful wife. She set the standard. Right, she did so much khidmah for her husband for 13 years. And it's actually said that one of those people who used to come and visit him, they made a comment that, you know, he must have, I don't know what type of sin he committed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in this type of disease. And that, one of the people came and told Ayyub alayhi salam. The other friend, he ended up telling Ayyub alayhi salam, came on discussion. And that really hurt Ayyub alayhi salam. To say that, because I mean, it just struck him. So then he said that. Then he got up to use the bathroom, and subhanAllah, he had so much adab. When all of this happened, Ayyub alayhi salam, forget about sabr. He didn't want to bring even a complaint to his tongue. And so much, and what happened is, one time his wife, she did so much khidmah for him, One time, you know, anyone who's taking care of someone who's ill, like chronically ill, they know that it's very taxing. It's actually a cause of depression. They actually need like social support to get, like if you have like a long-term cancer patient or chronically ill patient, it's very trying. From at least a medical perspective, right? That's how the way we look at it. And so she had done this. So she said some word, uttered some words which were like a complaint, right? Against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayyub alayhi salam, he was ready to take everything, right? But when his wife said that, he got so mad. He said, if I ever get better, he said, I'm going to lash you 100 times. This is a Nabi who has so much rahmah, so much everything, but he could not take that against his beloved Allah. Right? He says, you're beloved to him. And imagine, she has done so much khidmah for him. She has done so much for him. He could have, I mean, any normal person says, I better not rub her the wrong way or else I'm going to be left high and dry. But he said that, you know, you may be beloved to me, but you're not more beloved to me than my Allah. Right? You're not more beloved than me. So he said, I'm going to lash you 100 times. And it so happened that eventually when he went to use the bathroom, and when he got up to go to the bathroom, his wife caught his hand. And she said, let me take you. And she took him there. This is like going back to the other story that we were saying earlier. When the two friends. So when he used the bathroom, when he came back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to stamp his foot. هَذَا مُخْتَسْلٌ بَارِدٌ وَشَرَابٌ as it comes in the Quran. When he stamped his foot, a cool water started, like a spring or fountain started to come up. And when he drank from it, and he took a bath from it. And when he took a bath from it, he was completely cured of his illness. So then he came in front of his wife, and she looked at him and she says, where's Ayyub? He says, I am Ayyub. Because he had changed so much, he didn't even recognize her husband. She didn't even recognize her husband. And there's another riwayah in Bukhari that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to rain in the form of rain. He sent down locusts, but they were made out of gold. Right? They were made, so in terms of وَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his family and the like of them back, right? وَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا, as a rahmah from us, وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ, a reminder of those who are slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it came down, I mean, this is like gold falling from the sky. And as Aisha said in another place, that he used to have like some sustenance, like a mound of barley and a mound of wheat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one of them gold and one of them into silver. So that much wealth he gave him back. Subhanallah. And he was gathering the thing in a cloth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, Ya Ayyub, to the effect that, I don't know if that riwayah is in Bukhari or in Muslim. So then he said, Ya Ayyub, haven't I given you so much wealth that, you have made you basically carefree? He says, yeah, but we're not, we're not free from the favors of your benediction, right? Or words to that effect. So, subhanAllah, he has so much adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much back, right? So much back that everything that he had lost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave everything back to him. So what do we, I mean, there's obviously many lessons to be learned from this story, but the lesson to really take is that of patience. And وَذِكْرَ لِلْعَابِدِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, there in the مَعُ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, if you're going through tough times, then good times are also on the horizon. Every cloud, they say, has a silver lining. And so even if you're going through a difficult time, at the end of that time, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also bring khair for you on the other side. But do not hasten it, right? You don't hasten it. He did so much sabr, Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved his so much sabr that he has immortalized it in the Quran, right? Those years that he spent. Now, Ayyub, there were so many prophets, right? Obviously, so many prophets. And each one had their specialty and something special about him. But this thing about Ayyub alayhi salam, his patience caught the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala documented in the Quran that he said that I will commemorate it and everyone else will commemorate it. So till this day, we use him as the model, right? Many ways of being patient and steadfast. So, many of us have heard that story perhaps growing up, but it always helps just remind ourselves that no matter what we lose and what type of difficulty we go through, it's probably 10 to 1. It's not going to be as bad as what Ayyub alayhi salam went through. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give him back, then why can he not give us back as well? So, and we can see that. So, when I didn't finish the story about his wife. So, when he did get better, then he remembered that I had to lash her, right? 100 times. But then he understood he has so much rahmah in his heart because his wife served him for so long. He said, how can I hit her? And he was thinking, okay, but I cannot break my vow at the same time because he's a prophet at the end of the day. He cannot break his word. His word is it's like written in stone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for him. He said, خُذْ بِيَدِكَ ضِغْفًا فَاضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا, that he says, خُذْ بِيَدِكَ, take your hand and grab some twigs, right? ذِغْفًا فَاضْرِبْ بِهَا, hit with that, right? Just hit some things. So like on the surface, if you're completing your thing, وَلَا تَحْنَثْ, but even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't become hanif, do not break your vow. Which also shows that if we say wallahi, right, or we say give our word, then how straight we should be on that. وَلَا تَحْنَثْ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said something very amazing. He said, he bears testimony to the sabr of Ayyub. He said, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا, indeed, we found him. Yani Allah found him صَابِرًا. He was a patient person. Right? He got his diploma from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you graduate from medical school, they call you MD. When you graduate from law school, you get JD. So Ayyub alayhi salam was in a special university. He was in the University of Sabr for 13 years. When he graduated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him also a degree. He said, now your title, no, when people see you, they say Dr. Sam. Right? So doctor goes before your name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, forget this doctor, waqtar, right? You get the title of Sabir. Right? He's Sabir. Inna wajadnahu Sabir. It's not a small thing. It's a high and mighty title. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala May He make us amongst those who have sabr in their matters. Alladina idha asabathum musiba. Allah SWT actually describes who the sabirin are. Inna Allahumma sabirin. Alladina idha asabathum musiba. When some type of difficulty comes on them. Before that, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And we will surely try them. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. You'll be afraid. Right? And now with this new legislation passed, right? Which Muslim is there that, you know, they're not afraid that someone, they might be, you know, unjustly detained without a basis, without any due process? You know? What if this whole thing becomes a big internment? You know, people get scared. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. And there'll be times where you'll be hungry. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. And your wealth will go down. وَالْأَنفُسِ. And in your own self. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And in fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And give glad tidings to those who do sabr. Right? Allah SWT says, do sabr in these times. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. Some type of difficulty comes on you. قَالُوا Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Recently, just the other day, I met this one brother. He was telling me, in, you know, this one country, there's such a zalim regime that they took some of his friends, you know, doctors, pharmacists, these type of people, locked them up for 20 years without any type of charge. 20 years. This is a musibah. And some people, he said, people had psychological problems, these problems when they came out. But understand that if we understand, we come into some type of difficulty, they will have a psychological impact if we do not hold on to our iman and we do not hold on to our deen. Then when this musibah comes, we're supposed to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything that we have belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the big deal? أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. These people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this, these are the people who have really special guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sabr to hold on to our deen, even when it becomes difficult to hold on to our deen. May He grant us sabr to go through any type of difficulty that comes into our life. And make these occasions of sabr as occasions for us to draw closer to Him and have a lasting relationship with Him. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.